Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Ho, ho, everybody. Welcome to your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts, the Come to Papa podcast. Happy holidays. Here we are. We're sitting exactly 1 week away from Christmas Day.
One week. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Right. 1 week from today. Where will you be on Christmas morning?
Florida.
You're going to Florida.
Yeah.
Nice. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope you're shopping and early starting to shop, and then you get diverted and get hungry and have a drink and then don't shop the rest of the day.
Have you shopped?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Not too much. I kind of did some damage on Amazon yesterday.
Yeah.
Just started like bam, bam, bam. I think I'm good. I think, but I'm going to be, I'll have some time over the next couple of days. It's all fluff at this point. It's all extras.
You got to go to like an actual mall and see the havoc that people do to like, this was the worst one. There's like a really nice Macy's. It's like a big, huge Macy's in this mall close to us. And the women's shoes are probably $100 a pair.
Uh-huh.
Just strewn all over the place like used toilet paper.
Oh, God.
It's just like there's full-time guys that are just like restocking and refolding stuff because people are just like trying on 10 pairs and then just throwing them back on the floor.
I literally thought this morning that I might get through this holiday season without going to a mall.
Yeah? I kind of like it, though. I like seeing...
I know. There is that part of it. But I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to get through it.
Like a traditional mall or like any kind of store?
No. I've been to stores, fine. Little shops, cool. But avoiding the parking garage at the mall.
Yeah.
That's the main thing.
It's a nightmare.
It is a total nightmare. And everybody's just mean and attacking each other. And I'm close. Well, we hope you guys are doing the same. We have a great show. This is actually going to be the last recorded show maybe not for the year, actually. Maybe we'll sneak another one in, but we're going to run the, I guess New Year's Eve is on a Monday.
Because when do you leave?
Tomorrow.
For Florida. Oh, you do, or New York again?
Yeah.
Because I'm here the rest of the week. I'm doing the Ice House in Pasadena here.
Sweet.
The weekend.
Go see Paul. And then when, we're going to run, we had the big Come to Papa Christmas Extravaganza show at the Village Underground. We'll be giving that to you guys as a gift on Christmas Day.
Yeah, I think somebody was just asking about that on Twitter or YouTube or one of those.
Cool. And for our Patreon folks, you will get your bonus episode after this episode. Thanks for subscribing and keep it coming. We have a possible new sponsor for the start of the new year.
Oh, yeah, nice.
I don't want to... give anything away, but let's just say it's it deals with enhancement for a certain gender. So you're gonna go to Florida.
It leaves it wide open, man.
You're gonna go see the folks. You're gonna go to Florida. You're gonna hang there for a while.
Well, it's just the direct flight on Christmas Eve.
Mm-hmm. Probably cheap.
Well, it was a little cheaper. It's still more than I paid round trip to go to Asia. But
oh, really?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
That's what I start thinking about when we go to places like Kansas City.
Yeah.
It's like, couldn't I go to Paris for this?
Yeah, exactly. For that money.
When they try to jack up the prices.
I'm trying to get my cousin to come up to this thing just from Charlotte, North Carolina to New York. It's outrageously priced.
Yeah, it's crazy. The week of, it's like from the 19th to about the 26th or 7th. It's crazy.
Yeah. And then I was looking at, I had to go, I was possibly having to do something on like the 29th or 30th. The difference between the flights on the 29th and the 30th is literally double.
Yeah.
Why? I guess it's just demand. I guess they just follow demand and then they...
Well, worse is what I used to do is I'll fly to somewhere close and then rent the car.
Right.
But that whole month now, rental cars are like $80 a day.
I literally can't get a rental car in New York.
Yeah. They just sold it out?
Yeah. The locations where we normally do it are just completely sold out. And then I went to the other ones and they have like a tiny car.
Yeah.
Can't fit my family.
And they've oversold all of them, like the right. Seinfeld joke. Like, they just take so many more reservations than they have cars anyway.
Yeah.
That you're probably glad that you know you're not going to have one, at least, because if you thought you did, and then you show up and it's just empty.
Yeah.
I've got five people.
So I guess I'm just going to Uber around to over the hills and through the woods.
Yeah, or try to get something like in the outskirts, like if you're going to New Jersey, get like a local.
I can't do that. Yeah, I got a family, I got suitcases, I got...
No, just find like a local like rental car place.
I know, but how do I get to that then with all my luggage and my family?
Well, you're going
to
Uber somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to rent one. And I was going to rent a car in New York for 3 days. $1,200.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I know. So I'm just gonna sponge off of everybody.
What about a zip car? I've heard about zip cars in New York.
Yeah. What about scooters?
I don't know if they have. Have you seen them in New York yet?
No, but I'm seeing them in our neighborhood.
Oh yeah.
All of a sudden, they're starting to pop up around here.
I haven't seen any. The trend that I see is that in all these. Like, I'm sure that your kid's high school doesn't allow it,
mm-hmm.
but like, I think the colleges and public high schools right. are, they just drop like 10 of them off there and then let the kids go. Cause there's like none in my neighborhood. And then there's like 10 at the little, like, you know, LA Valley College or whatever it is down
right.
the street. So
right.
I think they get the kids to like use them around campus or something, but
yeah, I see. So I don't know. The whole thing is to try and not be broke by the time we get back.
I know.
That's the whole story.
It is really, like, I worked so hard that last week, and it was like just to pay off all of this stuff that I'm about to do.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
And it's like, I got to start working.
I know. And but the presents are pretty good. I have to say I have a big update from the train village.
Ooh, update.
Yeah, you know how we were talking about how
you're gonna find your new best friend at the train village store.
There's you know, we had that one part of town in the train village that mm-hmm. It was very dark and scary, and this one house, it seemed abandoned. We didn't know if there was a some kind of a murder or something that happened there, but it just, everything else is festive. There's a candy shop and there's a pizza place and there's all of this action going on and holiday joy. And in this one corner in the back of the train village is just this scary purple house. It's always dark. There's no one around. It's just abandoned.
Purple?
Purple.
Ooh.
Yeah. Almost looked like it might have been foreclosed on. And nobody's enjoying themselves. Well, I came down yesterday morning or two mornings ago, went over to the train village, turned all the lights on. The purple house has been pushed back even further to the outskirts of town. And in its place is a trailer, like from a trailer park.
Oh, I was going to say, that sounds like a mobile home that can just pick its spots.
Yeah, they moved into the spot where the spooky people lived.
Ooh.
It's kind of nice. It looks retro. It has like a little awning on it. It has a little deck. Very poor, obviously. They're cruising around in their trailer, but very excited to be a part of the village.
Yeah, you got to hang in there. You got to stay up to the level of the water, you know?
There's a very cool, and it lights up at night. So right next to the candy factory, we have our first mobile home in the train village.
What?
Yeah, it's very exciting. They've got a deck. They've got this little... So they come out and they have their margaritas and stuff on the little deck. Their kids run around in the backyard and throw rocks at the purple house. And they seem to be very welcomed in the train village.
It's not Cousin Eddie from the vacation movies. They haven't moved in.
It might be. They do party a little later than most of the people, but they're kind of on the outskirts. Nobody really is bothered by them. And, you know, it's nice to have different economic classes in the train village. You know, it's pretty elite. If you go down towards the church and the school, it's like a very fancy house with LED lights. And, you know, they're good people, but, yeah, it seems a little arrogant at times.
Yeah.
You know, always judging everybody's recycling habits.
But then you realize the real rich people wouldn't have any direct decorations at all. So
because they'd be Jewish.
Well, no, it's just a little tacky, don't you think?
What, putting lights up?
Inflatable animals on your front lawn.
There needs to be.
If you paid a couple hundred million or a couple million dollars for a house, and you got some guy's inflatable snowman.
Yeah. I have to say, the inflatable thing is pretty gross, but when you see it at night, some of them can look pretty good. I go with the traditional on my real house, the traditional old-fashioned, like 1950s big bulbs,
oh, okay.
Multicolored. And
the ones that go out every every time?
We did have some go out, actually, this year. But no, they look great. I like that kind of old-school. Maybe we'll change it up next year, but this year, I like it. It looks pretty cool. You know what I didn't like, which I saw a little of? Remember when you and I went to the Christmas Story house in Cleveland?
Yes.
When we were taping the Human Mule special, Paul and I were running around Cleveland filming, and we ended up in the neighborhood where the Christmas Story house is.
Yes. Very cool.
Very cool. And, you know, that you know it's a great film when... After 30 years, you're like, yeah, I'm getting a little tired of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Normally, I mean, it still has impact.
There's so many good, like, not only did they pick great, well, it was all great actors.
Yeah.
Like, the dad, the mom.
Amazing.
Everybody in it. And then even all, like, the guy, my dad always loves the guy who sells him the tree.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, don't these needles... fall off? He's like, no, that's gin blossoms. He says something like that. Yeah. I forget, he does some throwaway line.
Yeah. Well, did you know there's a Christmas Story 2?
Oh, I think I did hear about this.
Oof.
Bad?
Oh, really tough.
Who's
really
in it?
Really tough. Nobody. I don't think you know.
They didn't
anybody.
Get one person from the, usually like somebody will hang in.
Oh,
they might get the little brother grown up.
Maybe. And what's the kid's name?
Eddie? Ralphie.
He's older.
Oh, yeah.
It's brutal.
Oh, man.
It is so bad.
Because Peter Billingsley is like an actual big like movie producer now. Like,
yeah, I met him recently.
He produced Iron Man. Like, he's like a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's a... No, yeah. I mean, everybody in that was amazing and talented, and you'd love to see them again in any capacity. This is just, oh, it's so bad.
So you think
they try to mimic the old one, and Ralphie's trying to, he wants something now, but like a car. And the...
what was that?
That was my Wonder Boom speaker.
It's got indigestion.
Bluetooth going off on its own. And the mom's horrible. And the worst part is the MC.
MC.
The voiceover.
The narrator?
The narrator.
Yeah.
Thank you. which the guy was so iconic in the original. And this one was just, ooh, trying to do it and trying to be, you know, that whole thing started off of an essay or story from this, I forget the author's name. It was really well-written stuff.
Right.
This is like trying to do it. It's like the cheap version of it. Oh, I recommend everybody find it. You got to just check out a little bit of it.
And that narrator, I will say, that goes up that. What do you think a bigger influence was, that or the, I'm trying to think of a bigger Stand By Me, maybe, that had like a narrator the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like adds everything to it.
Yeah.
That guy is so good.
Where a lot of narration is to cover up mistakes that were made.
That's what they say. Like, it's cheating.
Yeah.
Right?
But if it's done well, it's really the way to, it just adds so much to it. What was another great narration?
Well, it's the Daniel Stern, the guy who did Stand By Me, right?
Yes. Right, right.
That was him, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. No, wait.
Or is that Dreyfus?
No, Dreyfus, Richard Dreyfus.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
He did Wonder Years is what I'm thinking. That's the guy that did Wonder Years.
You know what? I think Daniel Stern was in Christmas Story 2.
Oh, no.
I think he played the father.
Oh, my.
And he looked bloated and, like, not well.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so funny.
He was in the Home Alone Christmas one.
He was great in that. And, you know, some gigs you just take and you don't know what's going to be. And he made a mistake on that one.
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. But I recommend you watch it. My niece was over the other day and she stated that her favorite Christmas movie of all time, Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
They made a movie?
It's an animated. I don't think it's even a movie. I think it's like a TV show. The outrage that she felt from the rest of my family. It was ugly. How, your favorite of all time? Yeah, I really like it. What is wrong with you? They ripped her to shreds.
What is... Yeah.
Justifiably.
Yeah, because there's so many... Well, that's the thing. Do your kids like those old animated, like Peanuts ones?
They did. And there's like a nostalgia to kind of check some of them out still, but not really. And, you know, we try and watch a little Rudolph just for fun.
Like March of the Wooden Soldiers. They ever see that?
Well, the black, like the old films, they have, I think they've seen that once. They have not seen It's a Wonderful Life. Which,
oh, wow.
I could not. My older one, who's like getting into film, is probably has a shot to see it. The other night, I watched The Shop Around the Corner,
mm-hmm.
The Ernst Lubitsch, which is Jimmy Stewart.
You've always liked that one, though.
Love that one.
I remember you talked about
it's
that
so,
last year.
It's so great. The dialogue. It takes place in two locations, mainly one, and then there's this little in the shop.
Mm-hmm.
In Hungary, and then there's a little one off to the side. This is the witty dialogue back and forth of this romance, and it's just so perfect. It's just this nice, sweet, and it's Christmas time, and I really like it. My kids couldn't stay and watch it. They couldn't do it. They tried. I had two nutcrackers this weekend.
Oh, boy.
And I don't mean my wife. Two nutcrackers. My daughter was in the Nutcracker on Friday.
Do you want me to give you a confession? I've never seen the Nutcracker.
I believe that.
Why would I ever see it?
I cannot say that you should. It's not like saying I never saw Rocky or something. Dude, you gotta see it. You tell me you didn't see the Nutcracker, I say, yeah, well, of course. Why should you? I'm thirsty. My daughter was amazing.
Yeah?
You know, and I passed up a gig. I was supposed to work with Seinfeld and had to cancel on him.
Yeah.
You know, we don't get to work together that often, and this would have been fun to do, but I was like, no, I can't. It's my daughter. She's got a big role in the Nutcracker. It was so worth it.
Yeah?
Yeah, the whole night was great, and she did great, and it was, like, very special. If I had missed that one, it would have been bad.
That's good, because that feels like your family's like the reverse therapy. Like, I feel like your kids are the ones that are going to put you into therapy, because miss one, like, 10 years ago, and they're still talking to you about it?
Yes. My little one, like, really makes me pay for anything I've ever missed.
You should just say, hey, you know what? What would have paid your room and board the first semester of college? That gig I turned down with Seinfeld this week.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm always saying, you never come to my shows.
Yeah.
I'd like it if you came to support me once in a while.
Yeah, that's true.
Not interested.
You do way more shows.
Yeah, come on. So I'm going to make them come to the final live from here, which is on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it will be fun. It'll be good. It's the big holiday show. It's always a good time, and I'm going to make them come to that. I don't think they even know that they have to come. But
yeah, that should either be in a sketch or something that you do in the near future. That, like, you're going to your kid's play, and you just say, "Hey, it's good to see you perform, but the show, to get my money's worth, has to be way better than this. So if you can talk to whoever..."
Yeah, step it up.
Talk to whoever's in charge here.
Tonight we have a choir concert.
Ooh.
At the school. Yeah, so we're... excuse me. We're in deep. We're doing a lot of stuff. So we went to see that Nutcracker, and she was amazing. Then we went to see a professional Nutcracker.
Ooh.
Down in Long Beach area.
Now, did you do that?
ABT, just... Paul, do you know what ABT is?
ABT.
The American Ballet Theater Company or something. It's like the top ballet. And Missy Copeland, do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
She's like the most famous ballerina. And it was really cool. It was a very cool...
Sounds like you just did that creative. To rub it in your kids' faces.
No, when her part came on, I started booing. Like the person, like the professional.
Now this is a real show, girls. You didn't say
that. Yeah, no, she was really psyched to go see it. And we had these friends that are really know their way around the whole thing. So it was, what a nice thing to, as a grown-up, you know, as a dad, you know, a lot of times when you are going play, like tomorrow we're traveling and we've got to, you got to do a lot of stuff. You got to.
Yeah.
This Nutcracker thing, it was in the hands of the other guy because they knew the whole where to eat, where to go, where to park.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And you just get to, like, be a kid and just follow along, like, okay, sure, let's go. Oh, man. So nice to not have the, have to lead the pack.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I saw a movie that you might enjoy. I think you'd like it. I saw Green Book.
Yeah.
Peter
Farrelly.
Yeah, but it's like a... It's almost like that Monuments Man. It's like, oh, this is just a really good story, and that's what the movie's going to be about.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
And Viggo Mortensen...
Uh-huh. You like
is
him?
...is so amazing.
Really?
I mean... I've seen him in a couple different things that, you know, the guys that can be anything. Like, yeah. It's just amazing. Like, he basically just plays this kind of, like, Goomba doorman from a nightclub.
Copacabana.
Yeah, in the 50s. Italian guy that a million Italian guys from New York have been dying for this role for 50 years. And Viggo Mortensen was 10 times better than any of these guys.
That's great.
And the one comedian that you would have thought, at least in this day and age, that would be perfect in that role is actually in the movie.
Oh, yeah?
Who would you think? Italian guy.
Sebastian.
Yes.
Oh, he's in it?
Has a big role.
Oh, yeah?
Awesome.
Really?
Like in scenes with Viggo.
Oh,
hanging
nice.
With him. Yeah, it was great.
And he does a good job.
Yeah, amazing.
Oh, that's great.
He did great. It was a perfect thing for him. Just like big Italian family having dinner, just
right.
Making fun of each other.
Oh, that's great.
Kind of stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, I didn't know what the Green Book was.
I didn't either. That's interesting.
I didn't know that there was like a book created by African Americans for African Americans of how to navigate your way through the South.
Mm-hmm.
And it told you, like, don't go to this place. This place is bad. Racists over here.
Yeah.
And what was I when I was on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Peter Farrelly was the interview.
Okay.
And he said, he explained what it was and all that. And then he said, the really weird thing is, you know, this was a guide for African Americans in like the 50s, 60s. They just started reprinting it.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a farmer's almanac of like how to avoid racists. And they started reprinting it. That's how touchy things are for minorities.
Yeah.
Eesh.
He's a great guy, man. Peter did the Lucille Ball Festival in upstate New York, and he did this big interview. But I headlined like the theater show, and he came to it, and then like came up to me afterwards, took me out for a drink.
Oh wow!
And then we saw Brian Regan together,
nice.
And then hung out. But he had these great stories, just of like if you ever figure out show business, like you know how like. You're getting into it and you're like, man, I need a big break. I need this. I need that. Like this guy, you know, I forget what job he was working. He was going to like some crappy college.
Yeah.
And he wanted to be a writer. And he's just like, I got to go to Columbia is the school. So he like dropped out of school, did whatever he could to get in Columbia, wrote this screenplay. And he finished like creative writing or screenwriting. And his friend is like, hey, Eddie Murphy just moved next to me in New Jersey. I'll give him your script. And he's like so naive at that point. He's like, all right, sure. Gives it to her. On Letterman the next week, this is before like TiVo or anything.
Yeah.
He goes, Letterman's asking, I forget what huge movie, like Beverly Hills Cop or something had just come out. He's like, what are you going to do next? And Eddie Murphy's like, well, it's weird. This neighbor of mine gave me this script. It's really good. I think we're going to do that on the show.
What script was it?
It was basically they did this. It was a version of Dumb and Dumber where it was called like something dust where they're like, they think they're bringing a body across the country, but it's drugs instead, like a coffin filled with cocaine. He calls like some Eddie's manager. And he's like, hey, Eddie was just talking about our movie. And of course they don't know anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, sure. And they fly him out. Meets with them, nothing happens, but then they meet with who are the brothers that made Airplane. Those guys met with them.
Oh, yeah.
And they gave them, like, their first deal on a movie, like, you know, and they just would pay you to write scripts that never got made. They did that for, like, years and years. But
what was cool was he was saying that he only... did things that he was really passionate about. Like, he just loved, like, the Dumb and Dumber script and thought it was really funny. Like, all of his moves were something that he just was really passionate about and loved and believed in.
Yeah.
You know, rather than just taking a gig for whatever. And another cool thing that he mentioned in that interview was that he would read the Dumb and Dumber script when he was out here before it got made. He would read it to friends who would come over like after, like late at night, like drunk after they were hanging at the bars or whatever, and they'd be like, read the script, read the thing, and they would just read the movie.
Yeah, isn't that great?
And it would kill. Like, people really loved it. Just like reading it in your apartment. People were like dying laughing. So they were so he knew he was onto something.
Right.
You know? I mean, what a cool, you know, like test. Like, a lot of people would be frightened to, like, break it out. But, of course, it should be up and out and seeing if these drunk guys think it's funny. And
yeah.
It's probably pretty funny.
But the crazy part is, like, they ended up directing it, which he didn't know anything about directing. And they're directing Jim Carrey. So it's like, so they're basically like just, all right, you let Jim do it kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, he... when they did Stuck on You, that's where Matt Damon was in it with Greg Kinnear.
Yeah.
And that's where Matt met his wife, I think. He was saying. Yeah.
Doing it down in
Miami.
Hey, but did you see Matt on SNL?
Yeah, he was awesome.
Wasn't he great?
So good.
He was so funny. There wasn't one sketch that bombed.
Well, that was the best monologue that wasn't like a... It was like a little funny, but it was like supposed to be kind of poignant and touching, and it actually was. Like a lot of people do it, and they can't quite pull it off, but yeah. It was like really cool. Yeah, I thought it was
exactly.
Great.
The Miley Cyrus joke was mine.
Which one?
When he said his daughter was like, "Who's hosting?"
Oh, right. Yeah, he... that was the funny... I told you that story that stuck on you. Uh-huh. Remember it ended up being Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear? They're like conjoined twins. Mm-hmm. He had it signed that it was going to be Jim Carrey and Woody Allen.
Oh, right. You told
Done
me that.
Deal. And all Woody Allen said was like, no toilet stuff. He didn't want to do anything like in the bathroom with another guy.
Right.
And then he wanted like the same amount of money that Jim Carrey did. Uh-huh. And it's like, he's never been paid that in his life. It's the biggest movie star in the world. And they couldn't get the money together. That goes to show you, man. It's like crazy. But yeah, Matt was so good as he did Kavanaugh. He did, it looked like the last sketch got cut because they ran out of time. That was like one of the few times they actually did run out of time.
Yeah, like he wasn't able to do his big goodbye at the end.
Right.
He got close with it, yeah. No, but the that commercial of what a great Christmas it was great.
Mm-hmm.
His character playing the piano was hilarious.
Right,
him walking around as the daddy games, the daddy.
Yeah, that was really funny.
Really funny, him prancing around, killed it. Just killed it.
Yeah, that was really good. I heard a lot of people say that was the best episode they've seen.
Yeah, I mean, between his Kavanaugh earlier in the year and then that, he was the star of the year for SNL.
And it was great that he really wasn't promoting anything.
Yeah,
because that's what
it's came
usually
out to do it. That was very cool.
I would say the old Miley Cyrus might be the weak part of that show.
Man, I know. I'm she's always talented. She always cranks stuff out. Yeah, she has some stuff. You know, she can light stuff up once in a while. But this was a snooze fest.
Yeah, and it was that Mark Ronson, which I'm not in music, so I don't have to like say how great he is. I don't know what he does. Supposedly a producer, mm-hmm. but he pretended to play guitar for two songs. I don't know if you saw him. There's three guitar players, and he's got an acoustic guitar that's not plugged into anything, and he's just like playing one note. It's like just making the guitar man moves with his mouth. Yeah. It's like, go. And he's like 40, and Miley's like 25 or something. It's like, just go away.
Here's the bad part about going to see the Nutcracker.
Uh-oh.
When you go see the Nutcracker, you're going to be in a theater surrounded by old people.
The professional one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad in ours, actually. It's when you're in a performing arts center, which is acoustically serene, and you are in there in the late afternoon with a lot of old people, and they are confused and talking and coughing they have major medical conditions.
Yeah.
Like not just a, you know, like in the opera, like a, you hear that once in a while. Bum, 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 bum. Woman behind us, totally confused, did not understand what was going on. Just, what is that? Did you see the light go on in the house? Where is that a mouse? That guy looks like a bumblebee. Is that a bumblebee? Like, saying it that loud in the middle of the performance.
Yeah.
You got to just kind of roll with it. You cannot be in that situation and think we're just going to all behave.
Right.
You're like, all right, I'm in a nursing home right now. There's going to be little kids saying stuff and old people saying stuff and everyone in the middle just kind of tolerating it.
Yeah.
It is rough, though.
Did you compare the versions, though? You saw the Nutcracker twice.
Saw Nutcracker twice. I got to say, the school, of course, with my daughter being in it, I enjoyed that one much more than the professional one. But, there's an enthusiasm in there. The school does a good job on this, makeshift stage and getting these, you could see the money that you can just put into a professional. Like, one costume in the professional thing is probably more than the whole budget for the school.
Right.
But they're really into it, and they're enthusiastic, and the other kids are supporting them. And, there's all families supporting their kids. It's just like, there's a lot of love there. It was great. The production level of the professional one, couldn't be matched. They're just the way they were able to stage it and everything. It's beautiful. And the music is great. The music is really cool. But, if it wasn't for the old people. And as you're walking, everywhere you're walking in the theater, not hosts, not chaperones.
Oh, the...
The ushers. Blanking on some key words today. The ushers were, hold on to the handrails. Hold on to the handrails. Yeah. Watch your step. Hold on to the handrails. It was like, there's been a lot of old people going down hard in this place.
Yeah, that's where I remember that theater we did in, I think it was Texas. It's all retired people, for the most part, that do those usher jobs at the big theaters.
Yeah.
And... they do tell you to remember they all had flashlights, and so I think the stairs were not lit. So when I would be on stage and everyone was still like coming in, all the flashlights would come up at me. And in comedy, that's when you're done, is when they flash you. They flash the light from the back. So it was like every time somebody was almost going down the stairs, like 10 lights flash in your eye. Yeah, you're like, what's going on?
I have to say, we're not there yet, but, we do the joke segment of our show.
Mm-hmm.
Norm MacDonald does his own version of it, which we talked about last week. And then on SNL during the weekend update.
Oh, right. They do their...
They did a you have to read the joke that I wrote kind
right.
of thing. I don't want to say that we're trendsetters, but
definitely
they're all doing it because
people.
Of us. Absolutely.
Hey, I meant to tell you, mm-hmm. We talked about the first season of this show, how amazing it was.
Mm-hmm.
Second season of... Tales from the Tour Bus.
I saw the Prince one.
Oh, my God.
So great.
No, they had... I haven't seen Prince. They had George Clinton,
mm-hmm.
James Brown, Bootsy Collins, all the 70s funk people.
Yeah, I saw the Morris Day, which was...
Right. Yeah, that... George Clinton, that one is fascinating.
I can't wait to see.
Like,
that show's great.
Yeah.
It's such a good show.
It is so good.
The stories are hilarious. The way it's done is hilarious.
Yeah, just all the everything about it was amazing. Especially the funniest story was just the beginning, because if you could sing, I think George Clinton was from New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And he just liked singing with his friends, and so they went to Motown to sing.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, yeah, you guys can sing, but you're too ugly. Isn't that funny that somebody actually said, yeah, you guys are not good looking people. And then they were at Harvard and Timothy Leary was there and they gave him acid. And then that's when the whole P-Funk revolution started.
Wow. Funk is where it's at. That was interesting during one of them. They were talking about how funk didn't get respect.
Mm-hmm.
The funk doesn't have a spot in the music history that it should.
Yeah,
it is the coolest.
Yeah,
bonk,
I mean,
bonk, bonk, bonk.
Those songs, bonk, bonk, the because you don't know what they are, any of them are about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, George Clinton's talking about being on a spaceship and
well, Atomic Dog, he was freaking out on some kind of drug, and they were playing the tape backwards just to mess with him.
Yeah.
And you can hear it in the song. It's like going backwards, and he's just like, why must I chase the cat? That was just all him, like, freaking out on drugs.
Oh, really? <Yeah.
laughs> It's like, what does this mean? It's like, nobody knows. And we're singing it for 50 years.
Yeah, it is the best.
Well, I saw, did you see the Quincy Jones documentary?
No.
The documentary? That one's great, yeah.
The Netflix one?
Yeah.
That Rashida Jones made?
Yeah, Q.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was really cool. And just kind of scratched the surface, really, of what he's done, too.
Yeah, and, you know, and three things. Oh, discovered Oprah, Michael Jackson, and like everything in music for the past however many years. It's crazy.
Sick.
Worked with everyone. Ray Charles to Stevie Wonder.
He was Herbie Hancock. I heard that, I don't want to tell tales out of school, but that they made him seem like a much nicer guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That he was kind of hardcore, and especially with some of the ex-relationships and things.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. No.
It could get kind of rough. But I mean, when you're dealing with somebody that's that level of genius who's just cranking music out 24 hours a day, it's just streaming through him.
Yeah.
To think that that guy could actually, like, live in a house and go to kids' birthday parties.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
That's not going to happen. And there's that craving that everybody has for that kind of normal life, but some people are just too far off to be able to live that way.
Yeah.
There's no way he was going to do that. So,
well, it was weird because they had that thing about his mom, you know, that kind of freaked him out. And, man, I saw this. This is probably up your alley. Do you remember Lawrence Phillips? Yeah, he was a running back for Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
He was like Heisman Trophy level, like a guy that I went to high school with was like played on Nebraska during the 90s when they won, like they call one of the best teams of all time. They won four titles. And this Lawrence Phillips guy was like Heisman Trophy level guy.
Right.
And in the middle of the season where he was definitely going to win the Heisman Trophy, ended up beating up his girlfriend.
Oh, jeez.
Got kicked out of school.
Oh, boy.
Then, you know, went into the pros, had a drinking problem, got kicked, you know, ended up beating up another girlfriend. It was all stemming, you know, they had all this stuff about, like, his mom. Like, he basically quit school in fifth grade and ran away. Yeah. But still was so smart that, like, he just skipped a grade, and years go by. He ends up in prison. He, like, died almost like that Aaron Hernandez thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like dies in prison. Like, the guy, one of the greatest athletes in the world.
Wow.
And it was like, holy cow, this is like you could not. It's almost like an OJ type of story.
Yeah.
Man. It's like really
sad.
Was he
on drugs?
He was just
raged.
A big boozer, I think.
Yeah.
He played in NFL Europe and Spain and developed a rum problem, they said.
Who develops a rum problem?
But he was definitely like Mike Tyson, because my friend said he played at this place, and Lawrence Phillips, even drinking, was the greatest athlete he's ever seen. I mean, this guy was like just a monster.
Wow.
And he beat up a girlfriend, stole her car, went up to L.A., and then just stopped at a park and was playing pickup football with a bunch of these kids and thought one of the kids stole money out of his hat and then drove the car onto the field and hit, like, two of the kids. That's why.
Oh, my God.
That's got to be some kind of, like, chemical imbalance, right? Like, that.
Yeah,
you can't.
Something's wrong. All right, we have to close up and get back into our final holiday preparations. Hope you have good travels.
You too, man.
I hope.
Everything. Pack your mittens.
Oh, God. Yeah, maybe. Ugh. And we're going to. It's kind of the only upsetting part is that people will be staying at my house enjoying my tree.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they get to hang out in my little village while I am in somebody's sad tree with no little town.
You can bring the little trailer with you if you want.
That's a good idea. All right, we're going to end with a couple. You know, people ask us all the time, as they have all year, you're comedians. You must have a lot of jokes. Tell me a joke. And we never know these jokes because they're not worth keeping in our heads. And this is why. These are Christmas themed.
Okay.
Why doesn't Santa have any kids?
I don't know.
Because he only comes once a year and it's down the chimney.
Wait, what? Is this a family show?
Why is Santa always so jolly?
Not sure.
Because he knows where all the naughty girls live.
Ah. Me too, Tom. Me too.
Terrible. What's the difference between Tiger Woods and Santa?
I'm not sure.
Santa stopped at three hoes. Hey, we got a laugh out of that one. Why does Mrs. Claus always pray for a white Christmas?
I don't know if you want to say this one.
Because she's married to a guy who only comes once a year.
Wait, what? Did you bail out of that one?
No, that's what it was. I don't know where this one stops or starts, but I'll just start reading and see what happens. It looks like a lot of words. A guy decides to buy his new girlfriend a pair of gloves for Christmas. After all, they've only been dating for 3 weeks, so it seems like the ideal gift. Romantic, yet not too personal. He asks the girlfriend's younger sister to accompany him to buy them, but she can point out a pair she'd like. They go to the mall, and the sister points out a pair of white gloves, which the guy then buys. This is pretty wordy. The sister then picks up a pair of panties for herself and buys them. But during the wrapping, the clerk mixes up the parcels without anyone realizing. As a result, the sister gets the gloves and the guy takes home a gift box containing the panties. Without checking, the guy rushes the gift to his sweetheart, but only after drafting this loving and helpful note to accompany it. I'm exhausted. I chose these because I noticed you are not in the habit of wearing any when we go out in the evening. If it had not been for your sister, I would have chosen the long ones with the buttons, but she wears the short ones that are easier to remove. These are a delicate shade, but the lady I bought them from showed me a pair she's been wearing for the last 3 weeks, and they were hardly soiled. I had her try yours on for me, and she looked really smart. I wish I was there to put them on for you the first time. There's no doubt other hands will come in contact with them before I have a chance to see you again. When you take them off, remember to blow in them before putting them away, as they will naturally be a little damp from wearing. Just think how many times I will kiss them during the year. I hope you're aware. This is so bad, I can't get to the end. There's one line.
Bella's yawning.
P.S. The latest style is to wear them folded down with a little fur showing.
Come on, commit.
That might be the worst joke we've had all year.
That was the end?
I think so. It doesn't have, there's no more words. Oof. That was brutal. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. We hope you have a good holiday. Have you been going to yoga? I haven't been eating that crazy.
I've got to.
Normally, this time of year, I'm really ripping it, but I've been kind of mellow.
I have this week
making a lot of bread, but
yeah,
and eating a lot of bread, but nothing unusual.
How are you gonna feel now this week when you're not baking any bread?
I'm not gonna feel good. I'm not happy about that part. I'm not happy about leaving my village, and I'm not happy about not baking bread.
Bring a little yeast in your pocket.
I was thinking about it. I was thinking about maybe just doing a...
You could have an East and a West Coast.
Maybe. Well, that's it, all y'all. If you're a subscriber to Patreon, head over there. We'll give you some more wishes, and we'll be posting up the live Come to Papa before Christmas Eve, probably, so you can have it for the holiday, wherever you're going. We hope you do well. Thank you for listening, as always, and enjoy your life.